All right, today I want to talk about the power of a circle. Everybody say the power of a circle. Now don't worry, I'm not going to make you take out a scratch piece of paper and draw a circle. There's no power in that. However, there is a power in the circle of friends that you have. And I want us to go to Acts chapter 2 and a very familiar portion of scripture. Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" And we believe that's for everybody. Because what does the next verse say? "For the promise is unto you and to your children and all those who are far off." Who is that? That's you and I. We're afar off. "As many as the Lord God shall call." And I want to tell you today that if you've never repented of your sins, you need to do that today. Amen. What does that mean? That means we turn ourselves towards God. We stop doing things our way and we start doing things God's way. How many's done that? How many can say it's the best decision that you made in your life? And after we repent, we're baptized in water in the name of Jesus. We go to a watery grave and we bury that old person. And we come up a brand new person in Christ. And he's promised to fill us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many is thankful for the Holy Spirit that's living within us, moving among us? And we believe that. But I want to tell you, that's just the start of your journey. And I want to show us something today. And it says, "And with many words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word," see, what did they do? They were baptized. Immediately they were baptized. "And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship." Everybody say fellowship. "The breaking of bread and in prayers." Verse 46 says, "So the continuing with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and with simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Amen. I want you to see here that they didn't just come into the church and then go and do their own thing. But these people did life together. They ate together. They hung out together. They went to church together. They did everything together. And if we're going to live for God, if we're going to live for Christ, if we're going to live this Christian life, you need some people walking with you along in the journey. Can I get an amen? Amen. And when we talked about in the disciple series, that discipleship is not something that happens alone. Discipleship is something that happens in community with other people. If you could hand me that mic right there. I'm going to go ahead and switch here if that's all right. Community is very important to our discipleship. And so we have to have people around us who can speak into our life, people around us who can help us, but we also need to help other people. That's part of what being a Christian is all about. And so we have to make an individual decision to come into the church, but that doesn't just lead us to a Lone Ranger mentality of doing life my way, and I come into church and I leave church without the help of other people. It is the start of living life in community. To be saved means I live life in community. And the people who listened to Peter, they were immediately baptized, but they didn't stay in that individual frame of mind. They lived in community together. The apostolic church was a connected church. I'm going to say that again. The apostolic church was a connected church. It was people living life together. Friendships, fellowship, all of that was as central to the apostolic church as doctrine was. All of it was a part of who they were. And throughout Paul's letters, we see this. We see that he makes a one another list. He makes a list of one another scriptures is what they're called. He says, forgive one another. He says, accept one another. He says, care for one another. He says, encourage one another. He says, submit one to another. That's one of them I don't like. Amen. He says to care for one another, bear with one another. Now, here's what I've noticed about that list. That's impossible to do alone. That's impossible to do by myself. And what does that mean? That means that I have to get in a circle of people and I have to do life with people. Why? Because I'm going to have to forgive them. I'm going to have to accept them. I'm going to have to bear with them. You know what a better word for bear with is put up with. Does anybody have any people you have to put up with? Don't say amen too loud. They might live with you. If you're going to do community with people, you're going to have to forgive people. If you're going to stick around the church very long, you're going to have to forgive some people. You're going to have to bear with some people. And it's impossible to do this list alone. So really what Paul is saying is do life with other people. And I want us to see in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with confidence. Everybody say confidence. And a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled and cleansed from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Now I want to stop there. Everything we just read about Jesus did. How many knows that Jesus paid it all? How many knows that the only reason we're standing here today is because of Jesus? The only reason we'll be saved is because of Jesus. He made a way where there was no way, and that without him, none of us would be here today. Can we thank God for the blood today? Can we thank him today for the cross? We have confidence that we can go into the very presence of God. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. And that is a powerful revelation. But I want us to keep reading because we can't stop there. Because a lot of us, that's where we stop. It's just me and Jesus. But the writer of Hebrews goes on and he says, let us hold unswervingly. Everybody say unswervingly. To the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward good deeds. Not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And I hope that's not you. But encouraging one another. Everybody say, one another. All the more as you see the day approaching. You see, it's not just about me and Jesus. There's also you. There's also the church. He says, I want you, because of this, because of what Jesus has done, I want you to get together. I want you to find people who are in the church, and I want you to spur one another. Everybody say, spur one another. You know what that is? That's like kind of, you kind of poke people in their ribs. Anybody like doing that just to kind of poke somebody in the ribs, say, you need to get it together. You need to do better. I haven't seen you for a while. Where you been at church? I need you to be in the house of God Sunday. Somebody do that right now if it's appropriate. If it's appropriate. Just kind of poke somebody and say, I haven't seen you for a while. You need to be here more often. We need people who will spur us into righteousness. I need that. You need that. We need people who will encourage us. You know, what does that mean to encourage? It means to give courage to. A real heavy Greek there. We need people who will encourage us and say, you can do this. You can make this right choice. You can live for God. How many's had some people in the church encourage you? I've had some people that when I was discouraged said, you can do this. So that word spur means to stir up, to irritate or provoke. Some of us are really good at that. To stir, irritate, or provoke. We need people. If we miss a few Sundays, they're calling us. If we fall off the wagon, they're on our trail. We need that. And I believe that the tactic of the enemy in this time is to isolate people and to get people into thought patterns and habits that keep us isolated from other people. And the lie of the enemy is this: you don't need people in your life. You can. It's just you and Jesus. It's just you, Jesus, and coffee, right? Like the corny t-shirts say. I want to tell you, that t-shirt may make you chuckle and it may look nice, but it's a lie of the devil. You need Jesus and some fellow disciples and maybe a little bit of coffee. You need other people in your life. How does God speak to you? How does Jesus speak to you? He speaks to you through other people. He speaks to you through a pastor. He speaks to you through a group leader. He speaks to you through different friends in your life who are hearing the word of God, who can spur you on to righteousness. So how do we do this? How do we stay connected? When we look at the church over the last 2,000 years, we look at the early church, here's how they did it. They met in small groups. The first point I want to give us today is this: spiritual growth happens in relationship. I believe this with my whole heart. Spiritual growth happens in relationship. How did Jesus minister to his disciples? Relationship. He didn't just stand around and lecture them for hours at a time in a conference room and they were taking notes. No, he was doing life with them. He was talking to them, and the times he did have to lecture them, it happened through relationship, where he simply tells them things that friends tell one another. And he helps them along in the journey. This is why Paul says that we should stay, or the writer of Hebrews says that we should stay in the habit of getting together. He isn't talking about going to church. And I know I've preached that and I've heard it preached so many times. That scripture, I believe, Hebrews 10:25. Do not give up on the habit of getting together. And people say, that's proof text that you should come to church. And I believe that you should come to church. But in the context that the writer of Hebrews is talking about, he's talking about small groups of people. Did you know that the early church, when they had church, they didn't fill pews and it wasn't as near as large as this. It was people meeting in houses, people forming circles of friendship, keeping each other accountable, growing in the word of God. That's what it means to stay plugged in. And here's what I'm going to say today. Most of you today, if I were to ask you, give me 10, your top 10 favorite sermons I've preached, most of you cannot do it. And that's okay. I'm not offended. Maybe you could give 2 or 3, I hope. But if I ask you, list 10 people in your life who've influenced you and helped push you closer to God, I bet you could do it. Or you could at least name 5. And what does that show? That shows that relationships are more important than sermons. Sermons might get you in the door. It might nudge you into baptism. It might nudge you into the things of God. But it's going to be relationships that keep us in the house of God. It's going to be relationships that keep us. Relationships require us to get with small groups of people. You cannot do relationships by staying detached. And one of the needs that we have as humans is to be known by other people. It's just wired within us. We have a deep need to be known by other people. And that there are people in this church who need you to connect to them. They need to hear your story. They need to hear your encouragement. They need to hear what God has done in your life. And now I'm going to flip the script and say, there are people in this church that you need to hear their story. You need to hear what God has done in their life. They need to ask you questions. This is so important. You see, it's easy to judge what you don't know or understand. I know that there's been people I've been really harsh towards my initial judgment of them. And then I hear their story. And it's like, okay, now it all makes sense. I didn't know that they were raised by two pit bulls. Now I know why they act that way sometimes. And you know what that does? That gives you compassion. The closer you get to a situation and you know the details, the more compassion you'll have for other people. And that only happens by us getting close. That only happens by us getting closer to other people. Spiritual growth, discipleship happens in relationship. And that's why in the disciple series, I tried to push us all, let's find relationships. It's not that hard to disciple someone. You just have to have a relationship. You just have to be a friend. And you can disciple someone in the ways of God. And there are people in this church that need you, and you need the church. You have the experiences and insight to share with others what God has done in your life. And I want to tell you, the only thing really that you need to do, and if you look in the New Testament, not everybody who did great things for God were great theologians. You know what they knew? They knew who Jesus was, and they knew what he had done for them. Can anybody tell what God has done for you? Does anybody have a story? Discipleship happens in relationships, and here's what I want to say. Hard truths can be given in relationships. I think I can say this now, but it was probably 20, 25 years ago. There was somebody that came to this church, and there was somebody who was relatively new, and something had happened in the newcomer, and they were doing something they shouldn't have done. But this person took it on themselves to rebuke them in the bathroom. And it was somebody they didn't even know. Please don't do that. At least go to the foyer. And here's what I want to say. Like, I can't rebuke somebody I don't have a relationship with. I have to earn that right to speak into somebody's life, to spur them on. Sometimes I have to have a connection. And some things just aren't our business. But the goal is I want to make it my business by having a relationship, a friendship where I can speak into that person's life and say that there's a better way. That there's a better way to please the Lord than what you're doing. And we can do that. We can encourage. We can do all of those things. But it has to be formed on the basis of relationship. Second point I want to give us today is this. Relationships happen in circles, not rows. Relationships happen in circles, not rows. What do I mean by that? In a small group, you sit around a table. Maybe you're in a meeting and you get a group of chairs in a circle. And rows are what we're doing right now. And it has its purpose. Rows have their purpose. But it's really hard to form relationships in rows. I don't know about anybody else, but probably the past 6 years, just throwing that number out there, it's been hard for me to form relationships in church. I come here, I do what we're all doing right now. I try to have a couple meaningful conversations with people in the foyer or somewhere, but between getting service ready and preparing for this and everything in between, it's hard to have meaningful relationships in the church. And if I'm the pastor and I feel that, how much more are some of you feeling that? And so we as a church, as a leadership team, we've been feeling this and we want to create more opportunities for circles, more opportunities for people to actually talk to one another, for discipleship to happen, for meaningful relationships to take place. And for that to happen, we as a church have to be intentional. because it doesn't just happen. It has to be an intentional process. And what I mean by relationships don't happen in rows, you just can't show up at church and expect to have great relationships. We have to have environments, and we've got to have places where that can happen and with intentionality. And so when we talk about circles, we're talking about meeting people in a group setting and not just merely filling up a pew. You want to know why Celebrate Recovery is like a family? Because they meet in circles, not in rows. And I know that some of you right now are checking out. You're saying, that's not for me. I show up at 10 o'clock. I go, I do what's expected of me, and I go pick up my kids, and I leave, and I do my best to apply the sermon throughout the week. I worship. I do all the stuff. I don't do this relationship thing. And I'm just going to be very blunt. Your relationship with God will be affected by that thinking. There will be a ceiling. If you want to go deeper, you need other people speaking into your life. You need to do life with other people. It's not enough just to show up on Sunday and expect that that will help you to spiritually thrive. We need real, honest, authentic relationships. I'm going to say that again. We need real, authentic, honest relationships. The problem with Christianity, as I see it, is it has become a privately practiced religion. And that is this. We read the first few verses of that text in Hebrews, and we have a very vertical understanding of God. It's just me and Jesus. I pray to Jesus. I go to church and worship for Jesus. I do all the right things for Jesus. I know the do's. I know the don'ts. And it's just me and Jesus. The problem with this is that without a horizontal understanding, you will never completely know Jesus. What is a horizontal understanding? That means I need everybody I see around me. I need them in my life. I need to be pouring in their life, and they need to be speaking into my life. Because that is how Jesus works in my life. The author of Hebrews shows us that if we just have a vertical orientation to faith, that we are missing out. Why? Because I need people in my life who will spur me along. I need people in my life who will speak into me, tell me things I don't want to hear, tell me things that I lies that I've told to myself need to be dispelled through other people, the body of Christ, speaking into me, speaking life into me. You see, there's the truth I know about myself that you don't know. And there's also truth about myself that you know that I don't know. And as I get into relationship, there's truth about me that we both know, and we're working on it together to be better. How many wants to be better? How many wants to be more like Jesus? How many wants to be a disciple? All right, here's where we separate, pardon the expression, the men from the boys. How many wants to disciple other people? Yeah. You see, you can't, I'm going to reiterate what I said in the discipleship series. You can't really be a disciple of Jesus if you don't have a heart to disciple others. Because that is textbook definition of what a disciple is. Point number three, everyone is called to minister to others. Everybody say others. What if we all showed up here on Sunday with an others mentality? An others point of view. I'm here today to minister to others. And when I do that, you know what I found happens? Jesus will minister to me. He'll make sure my needs are met. Romans 12:5 says, so in Christ, so we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs all to the others. You see, I belong to you. You belong to me. We belong to the church. We need each other. We need each other's voice in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, you are a chosen race, a what? Everybody say, a royal priesthood. What's he saying? He's saying everybody's a minister. It's not a special class of people. Everybody is. We are a royal priesthood. What do priests do? They connect people and God. They minister to God and to people. You are a royal priesthood. You have gifts. You have things to offer to other people. And don't think just because you're not a brilliant speaker, you've never stood up here, whatever else, you never taught a class, that you don't have something to offer. You have something to offer. And the best way to live out your faith is to minister to other people. I'm going to say it again. The best way to live out your faith isn't wearing the right clothes, isn't keeping all the do's and don'ts. It's sharing your faith with other people. Because if you're doing that, all the other stuff will follow. Because it comes from a deep conviction of I am a disciple and I have something to give to the people around me. Being placed with others in small groups gives us the opportunity to hear their stories and to know things about them that we never know and to give them compassion and to have God minister to people. And so I want to just give a quick plug. We have campus groups meeting starting on Wednesday nights in April. Now, please don't check out on me. Don't say, I don't do that. Please don't say, you know what, I just don't do small groups. I want to encourage you to make every effort to join a group. We're going to have 5 groups. And we as a church staff, we are doing this to intentionally create space for people to get to know one another and for people to get connected. Because as I said earlier, if I'm the pastor of this church and I feel disconnected, I know that there are other people out there with the very same feeling. And I want to say something right now to the elders of our church. I know some of you may be thinking, well, if they're doing that on Wednesday night, I'm not going to show up. Because I don't feel like I have anything to offer those groups. I don't want to have to talk. I feel out of place. And here's what I want to tell you. Your very presence will speak volumes. If you come, fill up a chair and just smile, it will speak volumes. Your experience, your faithfulness goes beyond words. Please come. Please find a group. If you're spiritually mature and you're like, I don't need any of this. I'm doing great. I'm hitting all the marks. I don't have any problems. I'm doing great, Pastor. I don't need this small group stuff. Well, here's what I say, and I say this as humbly as I can. Since you're hitting all the marks, please show up and tell us how to do it. Please. I'm not being a smart mouth. We need you. Tell us how you made it through that situation in life. Tell us how God helped you and what wisdom you have for the various seasons of life. We need you in these small groups, and we want to create a culture in this church where real relationships happen on a regular basis. We want to see where small groups not just happen here on campus, but they happen outside of church, where people are meeting on their own and they're getting together for lunch, they're getting together in homes, wherever they want to get together, because the church is as strong as their relationships inside of it. So if we could have those small groups up, we've got 5 groups that are going to meet. The first one I'm going to be leading, and it's going to be called Answers, and it's going to be how do we live life. It's going to be about how do we live life in this current culture? How do we live for Jesus? What do we do about certain issues? How do we handle from a biblical perspective certain issues? And so free commercial, I would love to have you be a part of my group and come on Wednesday, April 6th. Next group, we have Be Better, and this is going to be a leadership group. How can I be a better leader? How many knows that we're all leaders? Whether you want to be or not, you're a leader. And so this is going to be a group that's focusing on leadership. We want to raise up a generation of leaders in this church who lead in their homes, lead in this church, and they lead in the community at large. Come on, does anybody want to be a better leader?
The next group, parenting. Got kids? Anybody got kids?
Yeah. How many wants to be a better parent? I got my hand raised. So we got a parenting group, and we've got a great leadership team for that group, and we want to keep that very, very multi-generational. I want to tell you, if you're a grandparent, I still want some grandparents to come to the parenting group. Why? Because, again, we need you to show us how to do it. Then the next group, level up. This is finding our spiritual gifts and learning how to pray. And so we're going to talk about, how do I pray? How do I find my spiritual gifts? How do I minister in the church? And we're going to just have a great experience in that group. And again, please, if you have experience, if you know how to pray and you're unashamed to say, I know how to pray, show up to this group. Give some good feedback. Next group, money matters. This is going to be a wise stewardship group. How many knows we need this in the church? We need to know how to spend our money. And so this small group will be focused on financial stewardship. And we've done this in the past, and it's been so productive that you know that money is one of the ways that Satan can destroy us and discourage us. And so we're going to defeat some habits. We're going to get some wisdom on money. Next group. That's it. That's our five group. All right. Here's where I want to close today. Our group leaders were recently meeting, and one of our group leaders, and we were in a circle. And I dare to say it was probably out of the 10 people in this circle, we've all been going to church together for at least 10 to 15 years, and we had probably never been in a circle with one another. That's a shame. And one of our group leaders just started talking about some things he went through in life and how he's going to use those things in life and implement that in his group. And the room got quiet because I think all of us have probably known that this person went through that, but we'd just forgotten. The room got quiet, and you could feel the Holy Spirit fill that room. And we had compassion on that person. And we just began to talk about that experience. And you could feel that not only was God ministering to that person, God was ministering to all of us. And that's what we want to duplicate. This April, this May, on Wednesday nights, six Wednesday nights. And I'm simply asking you, please consider joining a group. Come in with a humble attitude, but also come, you know what, God's put me in this group because I have something to add as well. And if we all minister to one another, if we spur one another on, I believe powerful things can happen in this church. Does anybody believe that today? Let's stand. How many thankful for your church today? How many thankful that you have a family of God and that you have people spurring you on to righteousness? Come on, can we give God praise right now all over the house today? And here's how I want us to close today. I want us today to open ourselves up to other people. And I want to ask us today, would you be willing, if you want to come up front to do this, if you want to stay in your pew to do this as our singers come, I want us to join circles of, small circles of two, three, four people. And I want us today to pray with one another. I want us to bear each other's burdens. I want us to encourage one another. If you don't know what to say, just say, I care about you. I love you. I want you in my life. I value you. If you know of a specific need that someone has, go find them. Can we do that right now? I want us to form an actual circle. Go get together with two, three, four people. Gather together. Let's encourage one another all over the house. If you have a need today, come to this altar. If you have a desire to be closer to God, let's form a circle right now.
all over this house. Jesus, I pray, Lord, you said, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you would be in the midst of them. God, I pray in Jesus' name, you said a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. So God, I pray, make us strong, God. Make us strong in you, oh Jesus. God, make us a strong church, God, connected, God, to one another, committed to doctrine, but also committed to fellowship. In Jesus' name, I love what I'm seeing right now over this place. Come on, let's pray for one another. Let's keep this going. Jesus, I pray, move in these circles. Lord, your presence be in these circles of people, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch the hurting. Touch, Lord, those, God, that are discouraged today. Heal the sick. Lord, I pray, increase our faith, God. God, I pray, Jesus, give us, Lord, relationships that encourage, that build up, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Jesus. Move in these circles right now. Come on, let's sing it.